Welcome back to another episode of Construction Tech Talk. We're blending the traditions of the trades with the innovations of the future. And today we have a very special guest, someone who, when I think of the more forward-thinking, disruptive, innovative roofing contractors in the entire country, this man is so innovative, he's even helping other roofing contractors scale and grow their businesses. We got a guy here who I consider a friend, a brother, and a mentor. We got Randy Brothers with Elite Roofing and the Roofing Academy. What's good?
Man, that's an intro, bro. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Best-selling author. I could go on and on, right?
Hey, man, I'm just a guy. 5,000
fastest growing company, award winner.
Man.
How we living?
Dude, I'm blessed, man. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here hanging out with you again.
Mm-hmm.
We go back. Dude. We go way back, and life is really good, man.
Yeah.
Family's good. Business is good. I'm grateful and blessed each and every day, man.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. I always like to do a little storytelling. So maybe if you take our viewers back a little bit to how you got into contracting and slowly transition that into how we got some stuff going and how you dragged me into the roofing space.
Yeah, man. I'm a third generation guy. I grew up like watching I didn't live with my real dad, but whenever I went to visit him, he was building something. So my grandfather, he was the type to, they're going to build something or remodel the house or build a fence or fix this. They just built it. They did it themselves. I'm a third generation guy that's just behind the tool and built things and construction. And I've always just had a knack for construction and enjoyed that and just had a passion for it. And then I figured out that I was unemployable. I don't work well with others, like working for other people. So tying construction and the need to create my own job, that's how I landed in the construction world.
Yeah.
I started as a general contractor. I worked for a general contractor while I was in college full-time. Worked full-time, went to school full-time, and I wanted to accelerate my growth. I know you do a lot of that. You're like double down early on to learn as much as you can. And I was able to go to school for business and work in the construction world as a superintendent for full-time in both cases. So right after I graduated college, I was able to start my first construction company. And the original vision was to be a custom home builder. We did a lot of remodels and basement finish and decks and fences and kitchens and baths and all the things we could do. And then the recession hit, put that whole dream to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I discovered the world of fire and water restoration, which ultimately led me into roofing and storm damage restoration. I got into storm damage restoration and realized that that was an amazing opportunity there. And it was pretty archaic as an industry at the time. And talking about technology, I realized that, if I can show up and do this thing from a entrepreneurial systems and process and business mind early on, I think it'd be successful. And lo and behold, 20 years later, we're still doing it. We're sharing with others and we're helping others. We have an incredible organization, incredible group of people. And we built a pretty cool,
an amazing company.
Yeah.
And I've been to a couple of the Christmas parties and they're an absolute blast. It literally feels like it is family, right? I know you guys say the lead family, and I know some people say it to say it, but you guys are legitimate, an amazing brand, right? And you know how much I love branding. You guys have all 5-star reviews online. You have the awards, you have the family culture that really cares. Because even when I show up to that kind of stuff, I just felt like I was just part of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something amazing. I did want to talk to you about, you mentioned the custom home building, and then you talked about what you got going on with Elite Roofing now, right? So there's two different ranges, right? It's the same range, right? But there's two different ranges. There's the one that had to deal with those struggles, right? And you had to deal with the challenges of trying to rebuild. And then there's the Randy who also dealt with hyper growth. You guys had some years where you were dealing with hyper growth. I would go inside there, like the mindset, the things you were working on, just of those two different chapters, really, of entrepreneurship that everybody has. So let's start with the first one.
The first one, I think it correlates both.
Yeah.
It's just, as an entrepreneur, I had to bet on myself. And I had to believe in myself and believe in my mission and believe that I can be successful. Through ups, through downs, through getting knocked out. And I had to have faith to be able to execute that. And early on, it was pretty tricky. First couple of years, we did pretty well early on. And then the recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I started 2 years before the Great Recession in 2008.
For custom home. Yeah, for custom homes. Yeah.
And I was working in a county that at the time had the highest foreclosure rate in the entire country, Colorado. Highest foreclosure rate in the country. And here I am trying to build a construction company.
And
literally the local bank went bankrupt.
You were literally in the worst possible situation for us, the newer, right? That type of business during that time frame. But this is what I learned too. No matter what, if it's not your fault, or if even this, you could predict the situation, you still have to deal with the consequences. And nobody else really cares.
Yeah.
So how did
it's
you
still on me?
Like, oh yeah,
you know, I have to own no matter what. And here's the thing: yes, there's some circumstances out there, but I do not put any time and energy into placing blame on
the circumstance.
Yeah,
I think it
put me in a place where I was pretty depressed. But
yeah.
Looking back, I was the one who wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
My head was down, and I was in my business, trying to just wear all the hats and do all the things. I wasn't paying attention to the market around me. I wasn't paying attention to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't running my business from a business owner's perspective. I wasn't an owner. I wasn't an entrepreneur. I was just a worker that created a job for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't paying attention. So I have to own that. I have to learn from that. And that the market crashed and I made some poor decisions personally. I was going through some stuff personally and I got myself into trouble. I went to jail.
Wow.
I was homeless and I ended up going bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a trifecta.
It's,
you know, when I finally got into the roofing space and really had to lean into my faith and like, okay, you know, ask God to help me get out of that.
Is that how you got out of the depression and all that kind of stuff that comes with it? Because once you get depressed and you get, you know, in your own head and you're blaming the world and you're like, life sucks. It seems like everything starts to snowball. Everything just gets worse until you stop the snowball. Was it the faith, basically?
It was very much so that I changed my environment. I was living in Texas. I went from Colorado, moved to Texas for a little while to just get a reset on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I became an insurance adjuster. Got into the insurance adjusting world, and I thought that was going to be my way out to make quick money and realize that wasn't the career for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, that's how I stumbled into the roofing business.
So what tips would you give to someone that is in that situation? And the snowball is still rolling down, right? And they can't stop it.
Just know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are not alone, ever.
Mm-hmm.
God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I believe wholeheartedly in that. And we don't always know it. We don't always see it. It's not on our time. It's on His time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain things that I just had to learn in life before God was going to allow me to find success.
Mm-hmm.
I know this now. At the time I did, and it was frustrating. It was easy to start to blame Him. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of us do that. But for me, I reset myself again and came back to Colorado, got into this roofing industry. And then that's when I really started engaging with my family, who was a really strong faith as well. And they really picked me up and helped me get back on my feet. And I had some good friends that I hadn't known. And I was couch surfing, living on couches, living in like extended stays and stuff like that, trying to figure it out early on. And my back was completely against the wall. Faith and fortitude helped me get out of it. And I pushed forward. I went and knocked a bunch of doors, sold a bunch of roofs, and made some money and realized that there was a good opportunity to build a roofing company in the market that I grew up in, not my hometown. And that's what ultimately helped me switch the whole model into roofing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's been ups and downs still.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, there's still ups and downs. Having that strong foundation and what I went through has given me such a knowledge base and such a confidence that we can get through anything. I feel
mm-hmm.
confident they can get through anything.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having these ups and these downs, it's more
you just
deal with them as they come and just know that there's seasons in life. There's winter comes. After winter comes spring, after spring comes summer, after
mm-hmm.
summer comes the fall, and after the fall comes the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And apply this to life, apply this to business. If you're in the winter right now, there's going to be a spring.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be a summer.
Amen.
And if you're in the summer right now,
it will end.
Winter is coming, right?
The storm is always coming, right? Going to storm or just leaving the storm?
When you know that, and obviously the metaphor of I'm in the storm business, when you know that, it just helps make every day and all challenges a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. And I think as business owners, we can't understand the risk that we're taking and the potential reward that we can get, but you don't really realize some of the risks until you get hit by some of those risks and they start to affect you. And then you start to, I think, get a little smarter, a little bit more strategic, right? And you are able to avoid some of those pitfalls in the future for sure. And like you said, all that stuff prepares you for what you want, right? So if you're a man of faith like Randy, and I am as well, you're asking God for all these great things. He's like, all right, I'm going to see how bad you actually really want those things. And 95% of the people, they stop and they sell those dreams. They give it up. They say, this isn't worth it for me. All right, I'll sell the dream. I'll go get the job. I'll do whatever. So when you keep pushing through it, you're earning that way to that top of that mountain.
Yeah.
8 minutes. Okay, so now we'll transition, okay? We'll go to the next ring, all right? So now this is like when I met you, right? You were winning Inc. 5000, fastest growing companies in America, right? You're looked at as a role model in the roofing space. You're coaching other people how to start building, grow their business. What's that rating? Now you're dealing with hyper growth, right? So now the company is scaling, which means things are changing for the good, but there's problems that come with it. And now you're also having another company that you're running, the Roofing Academy, right? You can check them out at theroofingacademy.com. And now you're also learning how to coach, consult, build training materials, host masterminds, do all this kind of stuff. Now, what's going on with that, Randy?
Still same person, right? Mm-hmm. But I've just evolved. And the number one takeaway, here's the deal. The difference between when I was in the trenches going through all the things I just shared a little bit about, and now is I realize, and looking back, like, that Randy was selfish. Mm-hmm. That Randy was looking out for his own self-interest. That Randy was full of ego. That Randy wanted to impress other people, right? I was chasing and trying to do things for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And when I went through all of that, went through the trenches of the rock bottom, that's what God was trying to teach me is it's not about you, man. Mm-hmm. It's about others. And if you can learn how to, and just learn what it truly means to serve and help others, if you can help, what do they say? If you help others become rich and famous and successful or whatever it is, that's how you become wealthy. Mm-hmm. If you help others build wealth, that's how you become wealthy. Mm-hmm. I just applied that concept of if I can help others succeed in my own business, in my own family, in my own life, and then now roofing contractors, my competitors, if I can help others succeed, it helps drive my own success. Mm-hmm. And it makes that success so much more rewarding because it's lonely at the top of that mountain, man. Everything else is with you.
It's just not as fulfilling. And I'll tell you, when I started this new company, I definitely missed being able to provide value to others, right? To try to get the team to make more money, to take them on a trip, to get a new skill set and stuff like that. There's something special about that. And when you really lean into that, it just makes everything better. It just seems like you just get more success gravitating your way.
It just comes, yeah.
I do want to mention, but on the scaling side now, you just got to think, right? If you're doing X amount of roofs and then all of a sudden you're doing five times more roofs or whatever it might be in a few years span, and you can do one, so you can talk about the details of like that scaling experience operationally.
Yeah.
Give me the whole detail. I want to know about that because that must have been wild. Everything must have been changed.
And so when I started, I was working for another company. I watched them scale. They scaled like absolute crazy. Like I've never even got to that level at this point. I don't even know if I want. But it was just crazy how much they grew with no process. Mm-hmm. It was absolute chaos. It was an S show in that building. Each and every day it was just everybody running out their hair on fire. No, it was just chaos.
Reactive.
So when I started my business, I knew like day one, I'm going to systemize everything. Mm-hmm. If I have to do this more than once or two or three times, we'll create an SOP and create a process for it. Mm-hmm. And then it's been a while because this was before CRMs and a lot of stuff was really, they were around, right? But now they've evolved and technology, obviously this is tech, has evolved so much now, which is incredible. Early on, I just knew that I needed to systemize everything. And this was back in just creating a checklist for things. And luckily, the people I hired were really into that as well. So day one, it was systemize everything in the business. And it's just been a 17-year journey of creating and building systems and processes and breaking them and rebuilding them, breaking them and adding them and changing them and updating them, adding new technologies and helping those technologies sync up to where we went paperless 8 years ago, long time ago. We've been a paperless company for many years at this point. We were one of the pioneers of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Paperless. And that's what's helped us be able to set a foundation to then scale the business and maintain a certain level of success and a certain level of growth in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about being scalable. It's about being sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So many people love the word scale. And be careful what you wish for. Scaling a business can ruin you real quick.
Oh, yeah.
But if you focus on sustainability and that growth happens, if it happens exponentially, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about sustainability, not scale.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is you guys had the major growth, right? But then you guys also had, you know, places like Colorado, hail season,
yep,
and roofing season, where now also you have to increase your capabilities for production, how you're operating as a company, because there's a lot more going on. How do you kind of to handle that, right? So if you're scaling and you know you have to fix an SOP or get a new tool implemented, how do you handle that? Or, hey, roof storm, I got to be able to handle X, Y, Z. How do you handle that kind of stuff?
Because we have it all documented and all the systems in place, it makes it incredible, way easier.
Even while you're scaling, you felt like what you had set up, you felt like you were able to have that major growth thing. What you had set up was already teed up for that.
Yep. So last year, for example. We went from a certain revenue. We increased by 1.5x, 150% multiple on our top line revenue. We grew our business that much in 1 year because we had a massive hailstorm in our market. And the reason why we're able to do that and sustain that is because we had a lot of growth and we scaled like crazy. And then we went down after 3-4 years of no hail. We still did well, but
it was tough out here, though.
But it was tough in this market.
Yeah.
So we found that like balance point of where our bottom is, and we knew our top and our bottom. And then because of what we learned when we grew and when we had to downsize the business, all the systems that we created, and primarily in hiring and onboarding and training of new staff, every role in our job, in our company, as a documented standard procedure, has a documented agreement, all the roles and responsibilities are all documented. We have training videos and training modules. We can train any role. So we were pretty hollowed out, but when we had to scale up, we had to bring on new people fast. And because we had all that training in place, because we built it all as we grew, we were then able to tap back into that and rehash it and now scale our business back up or grow our business back up because we had all that documentation and the training in place. Technology, Loom videos, pretty much every SOP in our business not only has a written procedure, there's also a Loom video teaching you how to do it. So you have that archive.
Yeah.
And so I can bring on someone, a key role in my business, and get them trained rapidly while everyone's really busy in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's key.
And that's a great thing for people out there who might not have SOPs. And you're looking at documents. If you get Loom, it's called Scribe AI or Guide, all these different tools where, hey, you can take screenshots every time you click. You can make it a PDF. It can make it videos, all this kind of stuff. And start just doing that for some of those tasks that you want to hire out or you might be having issues with. That's just a way to start. And just save those and build from there. Now, on the tech side, you say, hey, we were already good, we were scaling. Did you, like when you were implementing the big CRMs, so like your estimating software, your CRMs, financial, all this kind of stuff. When you were implementing that, was your mindset being like, okay, we're here, but I want this to be able to have the infrastructure to handle these capabilities? Is that why that happened?
That was a big part of the decision as to which technology we implemented, especially a CRM system is everything.
Everything.
Right. So we switched, and that was the truth. That was true.
Mm-hmm.
We switched from one to another. And the reason was I wanted one that, for me as a visionary in the company, I wanted one that was customizable and one that can adapt to the growth of my business, versus one that I had to stick within the parameters of what they've already built.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why that's so important is because if you go with a software that's not super customizable, maybe it has all these different features, what happens is now you're adapting to the software.
Yeah.
Rather than adapting the software to fit and mold the way that you operate your business. And so now your team is having to switch and do workarounds based off the new software. And that's not the whole purpose of it, right? The purpose is to streamline the work, make it easier, make it more organized, clear communication. And the only way to do that is to find tools that are able to handle the customization, right? So let's talk about that. What kind of tools are you guys using? You guys are using CRMs, proposal tools? What's that tech stack look like?
So two of my favorite tools, and they actually, I'm friends with the founders and CEOs of both these companies. And
look at this guy.
Jobnibus is one of them. They're an incredible CRM system that they've been building. They're customizable. That's what we switched to. And another one I found a few years back is called SumoQuote. It's a quoting estimating tool. Jobnibus just bought SumoQuote. So now they're merging into one, and two great tools that I've believed in individually. And then now they're together in one, which is huge. One that for every contractor out there, if you're not using CompanyCam, it's probably the best tool, the best software in the industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of like maybe industry related ones, but like those are three that can cross over all different construction and service and trades businesses.
What about like huge impact on projects and jobs? And so in that CRM, can you see like where projects and stuff like that are, how do you manage these projects?
Yeah, we can do it all within our CRM. Granted, a roofing project's a little bit different than say a new home build or a commercial project or something. So it depends on the level of or what your vertical is within construction. There's a lot better and more sophisticated project management tools out there that you want to use or look into. And I don't know a ton anymore. Back in the day, it's like different, like project itself, like Microsoft Project. There's a few different ones.
You think for roofing, it's not maybe as essential or
it can be maybe on the roofing, on the commercial side, if you're doing large commercial projects or GC, big HOA deals and stuff like that. Great. But we manage pretty well. We just create what I like about the customizability of our CRM is we can create different workflows for the different verticals within our business.
Mm-hmm.
So our commercial workflow is totally different than our residential workflow, and our service workflow is different than our supplementing workflow, which is different than our solar workflow. They're all different. We can customize and build them all within that software.
Can you explain to maybe, SumoQuote? Because I think that's a big issue for sure. So for a lot of people I've been working in, and it's cool too, because with me working with a couple of different trades now, a few different trades, you can get an idea of the differences and the similarities. I think operationally, a lot of people in the trades, it's pretty similar, right? The operations are pretty similar, but then obviously you do have some variety based off of specific trades. But I think the fundamentals are pretty similar. Now, I've seen a lot of people struggling with estimating, right? They're using a spreadsheet, and then they take that, and then they take a Word document, and then they type it in the Word, and then they take all that, and then they make a PDF, and then they upload it to DocuSign, and then they send it that way, and it takes them forever.
Oh man, SumoQuote's a tool that combines all that, right?
Yeah.
You can pre-build your labor rates, pre-build your material rates and material different materials.
So your line items, basically.
All your line items, you can pre-load all that and have different templates for different things, and siding, roofing, windows, gutters, exterior, interior, flooring, whatever it is, but you can preload all that. There's a lot of work to do that, right? Preload it all to where you're just clicking and all you're doing is, and for us, we have software that gets the satellite image or like a drone image of a home, of a roof, and it gives us every measurement we need. So we just press a button, it plugs in
and just push,
and then it's all preloaded in there. I can build a $50,000 roofing quote in 5 minutes.
And those are the snags that you want to fix in the company. Right. Yeah. So if you're doing it the way I said before, versus the way that Randy's doing it in 5 minutes, think about, hey, when he's training somebody new, if he has to get a proposal out quick, if he wants to win it by just looking better and on brand and looking clean and everything like that and professional, that SumoQuote's going to go a long way, right? It's really going to help you close some deals, speed it up. That's the areas that you want to fix with the business. So what about like financial stuff? Figuring out profitability or job cost, figuring out any of that kind of, do you have any tips on there or anything?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And I didn't realize this. No disrespect, right? Most of us contractors are blue collar. We're just hustling, trying to make a living, trying to provide for our families, right? We don't come from financial backgrounds or corporate backgrounds and stuff like that, where we don't know the numbers and more importantly, job cost.
Yeah.
We understand the concept of labor, material, okay, profit, right? Cool. But there's a ton of line items that with every single job is that's variable per each job. So for no matter, this is for all contractors.
Yeah.
You've got to job craft. You can't just say I bought this many materials in this time frame. And I started off doing this way too, is each month I'd look, okay, well, what was my material cost? What was my labor cost? And what was my profit? Cool. I made $3 this month. Great. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's individual job. Every single job, I'm down to the freaking credit card percentage, credit card transaction fee. Like everything is tracked. I know exactly what all my costs are on every single job, because knowing it on every single job allows you to figure out which jobs to go after, which jobs not to go after. And you also need to understand your fixed costs, because your fixed costs is your overhead. What does it cost you to walk into your office? If you have an office, walk into the office on Monday morning and flip a light switch on.
Mm-hmm.
And what are it simple? Don't look. No, it's not that. It's like all the overhead, the utilities, the fuel, the vehicles, the insurances, all those things combined, divided by the number of weeks per month, it'll tell you per week, what is my run rate?
Mm-hmm.
What does it cost me to run and operate my business if I didn't even do a roof,
yep,
or didn't even do a project? Know that number. And then you got to figure out how many, if you know your variable cost, which gives you your gross profit for every job, now your job costing. So now how many jobs I have to do to make sure that I'm profitable each year,
mm-hmm,
and how many jobs I have to close out at a certain margin to then make enough money to cover all my expenses and leave myself with $1 left over. That's
yep,
the goal.
Yep.
Pay all your bills, have $1 left over, yep, and you did it right.
Yep. It's Randy nailed it 100%. It's like making sure you're using profit margin instead of markup. Figuring out what your overhead is so that you can use overhead and profit inside of how you're building out your estimates and proposals. And then what Randy was saying with job closing for every single job, it is essential. Otherwise, all you're doing is making assumptions. How can you make good decisions without giving the data that you need? You can't make changes, improvements, unless you have data to back that up. I've worked with people now in this new company with Better Boss where they could do $1 million project and they have no idea how much money they were making on the $1 million project. Doesn't that seem scary?
Very scary.
Because it's the amount of resources you're putting into that, and you can feel good about yourself when you get done with the project, but you have no idea out of that $1 million how much money you actually made, yeah, right?
I've done it. I've done projects, hard lessons, right? I did a project, it's been a few years now, but that was over $1 million. It's like $1.2 or $1.3 million project. By the end of it, when we came, luckily we tracked everything, but it's 18 months long. By the time it was all said and done, we lost $60,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk about the, and that's not the worst of it. Okay, $60,000, that sucks, right? The worst of it was the opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because all my resources were tied up into that job. If I had been doing smaller service repair jobs or other jobs that are highly profitable and allocating my resources towards those jobs, what did I miss out on over here because I was so hung up on and tied into chasing that big whale?
Yeah,
so know your market, know what you're trying to go after and what's profitable for your business.
Imagine if you didn't have that insight that you lost $60,000 and you repeatedly continued to do those projects. You worked hard.
That's how business goes.
You closed new deals, yeah, but every single time you're losing $60,000. Dumb, like you
not
said,
sustainable. Talk about sustainability.
That's how you go into business. And it's the same things, I think, too. People who are willing to take on additional services, and sometimes they get like that shiny object syndrome, where they're like, oh man, that project's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. It's a big project. For it's going to be a big commercial job. Ooh, and you keep taking them, but you have no idea what services are actually being profitable for you. To be like, hey, we're going to cut this one, and we're going to lean into this one even more, and keep, rinse and repeat these processes that are beautiful build out because we're making XYZ money.
Yep.
So you got to be able to get rid of that. But the only way to do that is with those insights.
Yep. Track everything.
Track yep, everything. What about on like stuff like QuickBooks then, right? How important is that to have it super dialed in,
right?
Because you're having it basically now where you're having your estimate software connected to your CRM, and then the QuickBooks connects to your CRM.
Absolutely.
So everything's getting pushed where you're able to track. How in depth are your QuickBooks, right? How much work did you put in to actually set that up properly?
Very much so. I have a team of people now,
yeah,
CFO and a team of people that that are making sure our QuickBooks is super dialed in. The chart of accounts is vitally important. And we do this with my roofing academy. We have a partnership with another company that specializes in bookkeeping for contractors. Mm-hmm. And 9 out of 10, maybe even 10 out of 10 contractors that I get involved with that come to us, or that I even meet, whether they come to us or not, they need some level of cleanup that needs to happen. And construction is unique, especially roofing. If you're doing insurance work, right? It's unique.
You get pretty down
in the way you're tracking things and running your books. So you need to hire an expert, someone that knows construction specific bookkeeping. And there's different models. There's a different type of bookkeeping.
Yeah.
That's job cost based bookkeeping versus some traditional, maybe a retail, like a sale or something like that. They're different. And if you get to your traditional bookkeeper that knows nothing about construction, it can build your books completely wrong. And you have to rebuild over and over again. So having a professional that knows the roofing or knows construction is vitally important in your books. And as an owner, you need to be looking at your P&Ls and your balance sheet.
How often?
We do a weekly report with our financial team, where we know exactly how much money is going out, how much is coming in, how much is expected to go out, and how much is expected to come in every single week, which tells us how much we're left with, how much cash we have in the bank.
Yeah.
Not what's in the checking account. It's what's in the bank based on the numbers, based on the QuickBooks, and based on the CRM system. So we do that weekly, and I'll look at those numbers periodically, but I have a team that can help, so I don't have to look at as much because I'm just going through this report with my leadership team. But generally, I recommend at least once a month.
Yeah.
You reconcile the books at the end of the month, have your bookkeeper send you the P&Ls, look at that. Look where your margins are, look where you're at, and see where you're spending money and where maybe you're spending excess or maybe you have excess. You can determine how to allocate funds to grow your business.
Is there anything else that you're looking at? You like work in progress, statement of cash flow? Is it any kind of fork? Is there anything else that you like to look that's like a gem or something?
Oh yeah, we're looking at sales, right? We're looking at leads, we're looking at sales, we're looking at pipeline, all those things. There's things I'm looking at on a regular basis. So when I'm meeting with my sales staff and sales team, we have on our CRM system, I can press the button and open it and look at, all right, these are your leads you've had. This is the leads and all these different statuses of where they are. Then have you sold it? Have you done the proposal? Have you done your follow-ups? Like, where is it out in the stage? I can look at all these different phases and help coach and guide my team. And we can get in our CRM provides all this tracking reports, and I can look and see at any given moment what my pipeline is. I can tell you what my sold pipeline is that's not produced yet. I can tell you what's in production. I can tell you what's been bidded, but that's not closed yet. I can tell you all those numbers at any given moment.
Mm-hmm. And then is that kind of how you're setting the tone for goals and benchmarks for the teams, just using that previous data based off this? This is what the goal is going to be.
Yeah, there's two sides to that. Some goals are going to be purely data driven, and some goals are going to be effort and activity driven.
Yeah.
You can measure activities, but if I'm going to set a goal with you, it's going to be like, all right, we're going to meet again in 2 weeks. Your residential sales rep, how many appointments, how many inspections, how many appointments, how many vendor meetings, like whatever you're doing, like set goals for each one of those things. And let's measure those in 2 weeks and see how well you did.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you guys are tracking that kind of stuff.
Activities,
right? Because it is difficult to be like, hey, this is just the numbers, right? You always want to reverse engineer that, look at the activities, focus on the activities more than just.
I know what numbers can happen if you execute on the activities.
Based on your previous data, right? Because you're able to look at that. And historically,
this is
100%. So I wanted to ask you too, you talk about your tech stack, right? And you're one of those guys that's always willing to try a new tool. Right, but you hear about something in the space, it's hot, fresh, it's
within a reason. Down on that a lot, because here's the thing, I'm gonna be devil's advocate here for a minute, because there's a lot of shiny new tools out there, and that doesn't mean they're all game changers.
There's too many,
and there's too many implementation process. It puts a lot of stress on your team. You're like, this is a cool new tool, hand it off and expect someone to go implement it. That causes a lot of riff and stress and hold your company back. So I've learned to be a lot more cautious with which tools and with technology I'm willing to look at and willing to admit. And if I do something cool, I may put it on the shelf for a while and wait for the right time to implement something.
And I want you to go in depth on that a little bit. right? Because obviously this is what I'm doing now, right? Is I'm helping these companies adopt this technology, refine their processes, train their team and stuff like that. And it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. You say, hey, it was a stream. People get stressed out. Why do you think it's such a process? Maybe you can go into details on.
Not only is it the technical side of actually implementing and making sure it all works properly, mm-hmm. whatever the tech is that you're implementing in your business, but the other component is the human element, especially in construction.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of us come from tech background.
Yeah.
So if I have a team of people that are working for me and I'm constantly making them learn new softwares and learn new tech, it just overwhelms them.
Yeah.
They'll shut down. And here's can be an Achilles heel for a company is when you implement something and some people adopt it and some people don't.
Yep.
You create a huge mess for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So by it throwing all the technology out there and not implementing it and not making it to where everybody learns it and gets trained on it and is proficient in it before you go into something else, then you can hurt yourself and compound problems.
Be strategic with it. Be strategic with it. It's a massive change. And anytime there's change in an organization, it causes stress. That's just the human reaction. Change is stress, right? They were doing something the same way for a certain amount of years, and now you're going to change it. And the thing is, you have to go through that change. You have to adapt. You have to evolve, right? And make sure the time is right, but you have to do it. And so I think what key is make sure you do the research up front, finding the right tool for you. Don't get excited and say, oh, we just gotta do it now. And just pick the first thing that you see. Really research, analyze, make sure you go in there with the right tool. And then also get them to be part of it. Get them involved. Ask them what they want out of the tool that's gonna affect the way that they operate their division or their role in the company. And then this is the thing that I've been running into a lot is everybody just wants to get it out there. Hey, even if it's not ready, it's fine. We just won't use those features yet. Don't roll it out. I want to say it's 70%. I was looking at the stats online the other day. 70% of construction companies fail at tech adoption. So they go through change failure. And so now what you did is you spent the money, the time, and now morale is down. And the next time you try to implement something, they're not going to be as excited for it. So for me, I like to do meetings and do checkpoints with people where you do review what's going on. But until everything's connected, until you have everything integrated, until that person that you're onboarding in their role to the system is ready to go, don't do it. Wait. Because then what's happening, they're going to be running snakes if certain things aren't set up yet. Just wait. Be patient. Refine it. And then when it's time to implement it, and then they'll be like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Because the adoption is one of the biggest things that people cannot figure out. If you can't figure that out, it's going to be a struggle for the rest of the time that you're running that company.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to implement, get that buy-in on a new, you've got to present in a way as to how it helps them do their job better and help them ideally either free up their time or make more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about them. Because mm-hmm. people are self-interested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to, if they're employees, they
100%. It's like 100%. How is this going to impact me?
How is it going to impact you? Will it make your life easier? Will it make your job easier? Will it help you make more money?
Mm-hmm.
Present it that way, and then you'll get more buy-in.
And I think, too, it's, hey, if you went to all the key leaders and the people who are actually doing these activities that you might have stepped out of now by now, go in and same with them, but figure out every single bottom, like every single problem, write that down on the list. Now when you do your research for the perfect solutions for you, does it fix these problems?
Yep.
I don't care that it's got a trillion different features and it can do X, Y, Z. Does it fix these problems? And if it can fix those problems, you're probably going to have good buy-in and adoption system, right? I wanted to ask you though too is, all right, so, like I said, I consider you more tech advanced for sure, right? More modern thinking, willing to do these things. I think that's why you guys are so efficient and successful. Do you have any commercial projects or bigger residential or complicated residential projects that you feel like it might have been a struggle, whether it's production, communication, finances, all this kind of stuff, if you didn't have it set up or that you were pretty proud that, hey, this ran really smoothly, and I think this technology helped, and it was just a good feeling?
It's hard to pinpoint one project.
Yes.
When we roll something out and we implement something, it's for everything. But
yeah.
We're capable of doing, we might very well do 1,000+ roofs this year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And without our tech stack and without our systems in place, then it would be absolute chaos.
Yeah.
So to do multiple roofs each, that's the average is, I think, 3 to 5 roofs per day to get to that level.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of roofs going on. It's a lot of logistics and a lot of, and you've got to be able to track all that and measure all. We're pulling permits and setting inspections and scheduling homeowners, scheduling crews, scheduling materials. There's so many different moving parts that having a great tech and having a great system in place is the only way for us.
So first off, for those out there, Randy's lucky. He has a tech and operational nerd. He's running the company, right? Great.
Yeah.
And not everybody has that. So she was able to really customize and build everything out. Do you think those 1,000 roofs would be possible if you didn't have that kind of stuff built out?
People did it before tech, right?
That's true. Them. That's so, a fair point.
I mean, is it possible? Yeah. That's at what cost? You're going to make a lot more mistakes. People might be way more stressed. It might cost you a lot more. You need more people to be able to handle that. You go and do so much. We still use, I have all the tech, but we still use a magnet board system where every single job gets a little magnet and moved down the road. We show that we have a visual.
I still think there's a place for some of that,
but
stuff, though.
It's there and on the computer.
Yeah.
Both places.
Yeah.
It can be done. But it's
let's say that we put Randy Brothers Company, Elite Roofing, right? And we stripped all the tools, all the technologies versus the one that you have built out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't be here doing a podcast with you. I'd be at my office or out in the field trying to solve some sort of problem. I think the efficiency of having those tools in place is, it's night and day.
I think that's where the scale comes. Because for me, when I worked with some companies that are pretty large and dude, they're running the gun, but everyone struts out and everything is firefighting. And a customer's pissed, a vendor's pissed, they didn't get paid yet, and they don't even know because the stuff's not tracked. And so I think it's one of those things where if you're really good enough, you're a good salesperson, you're good in the trades, all this kind of stuff, you can take it to a certain level, and you can keep going. But I just think as you scale, the pain and the repercussions of not doing it, you feel it more.
Yeah, and it makes it harder and harder to do it.
Get
more scale you're at, it's harder just thinking things. So. Start early, start building systems early and refine the system as you grow.
Do you have any thoughts on the future of this space? It could be technology, it could be relationships, it could be whatever it might be.
We're already seeing it. We're starting to see a separation between the mom and pops and the conglomerates. There's large entities forming as we speak. In my space and in construction in general, that are going to change the way we do business. They're going to change. They're going to make it more and more difficult for that small to mid-sized company to operate and operate effectively, and at the right margin. Because these big companies are going to come in with
volume,
with good tech, with volume, with economies of scale, and it's going to make it a little tricky. But I don't think it'll. I don't think it's going to move the needle so much to where we can't still. There's always going to be a place for the smaller roofing company, a smaller construction company. But I think the gap in between the two is going to get wide.
So I'd put that as a big threat, though, in the swap, right? So what can be to be more proactive just in case that does become a problem?
I think no matter what size you are and what business you are, you need to be thinking of value in business. How do I build a company that has value? Regardless of which end game is. To sell it, to pass it on, to have a lifestyle business that just pays you a certain amount of money every year and you take time off from it, great. Whatever that end game is, you still need to be building your business in a way that has value to somebody else. And so if private equity or your kids, whatever it's gonna be that who's gonna come in and buy your company or take over the company, what kind of value does that company have? In order to do that, you've gotta have all your systems, all your finances and everything dialed in. You need to know your numbers really well and have all your operations really done really efficiently. That gives you options. So regardless of what size you are, you need to be focusing on building your business that way, because that's going to help, I don't say recession proof, but create a barrier to where your company is not as, it'll be more resilient.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're going to be more resilient to the ever-changing
market. I want to see this rate. Hey, that's great, but this big corporation is offering me like 8% cheaper. That's great that your company is good, but I'm going to go with the 8% cheaper. What do you do there?
You go find another customer.
Yeah, go find another customer.
Basically. Increase your value.
Increase your value. Value. So show your value of why you are worth that extra 8%. Be good.
Adapt and overcome.
Yeah, adapt and overcome. So
there's always a customer for everybody, right? There's a customer for you still. Mm-hmm. That's willing to pay more for a boutique operation.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure, but you know how we end these things. We end these things with the
goal. Same way, right?
Same way, man. Same way.
Say that you and I had a podcast.
Yeah, that is where we even get
we're
that.
We've got like 200 episodes together.
Okay, so make sure you guys are checking out the Start Build Grow Show. All right, yeah. You got to check it
he's
out.
He's the OG.
Yeah, and we hosted together for 200 episodes. I passed over the ring, and he's just been running with it, still producing a ton of content, getting great guests, and getting all the information out for contractors. He's also got the Roofing Academy, so you check them out, theroofingacademy.com. Dude, it's basically a roofing company in a box, right? We're talking about SOPs. We're talking about processes. We're talking about templating stuff out. That's great. You got that stuff.
Plug and play. We got it all.
You got that stuff.
And coaching to support.
And I have firsthand seen the results. Like people literally having their companies change, their lives change, the way they look at things. Yeah. Crazy, right? You're taking some people and you're taking it into truly impressive and amazing entrepreneurs in the contractor world.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely,
man. Fun to have you along right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're just getting going, right? We'll make sure we stay in touch for sure. But I need that golden nugget. So
I'm going to keep it short and sweet here because I live and breathe this every day. And it's we all have these targets and these reasons as to why we're going to do what we do. But the journey itself, that is your destination.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the ride. Learn and grow every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Make mistakes, get better. Find people that you can learn from and grow from. So surround yourself with people that you can learn and grow from. Make mistakes, learn and grow, but enjoy the ride because that journey itself, that's your destination.
I got a follow-up question on that because a lot of people have been hearing that from. And they've been saying something like that. Enjoy the journey, enjoy the process. But when that process isn't as sweet, right? It's a little more grind. How do you still enjoy that process? How do you make sure that you're able to brighten your perspective on that, understand what you just said?
Look backwards.
Look backwards?
Look backwards. Because if you're in a really difficult spot right here and a big challenge in front of you, great, embrace that, which work with the only way past it is through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you need a little bit of reset, need to get a little motivation, look backwards.
Mm-hmm.
6 months, 3 months, 10 years, and look where you were at whatever point of time you were there and look where you're at now. Even in the darkest, challenging situation you may be in, look backwards because there's going to be something there that you can be proud of, mm-hmm. something you can be excited about. Look where I came from. So anytime you're in that and you get a question that, just look backwards.
So basically stop looking up that massive mountain you got to climb and look back and see, oh, whoa, wow, I already did that, right?
Celebrate every
celebrate the wins.
Celebrate the journey.
You're going to get that little dopamine hit. That little dopamine hit is going to keep you rolling, right? But Randy, it's been an absolute pleasure. My brother from another mother, right? Thanks for coming on. Always great conversations with this guy. One of the smartest people I know in roofing, making a drastic impact, right? So he's the owner of Lee Roofing, the Roofing Academy. This guy is an entrepreneur. He best-selling author, right? Start it, build it, grow it, right? The Contractor's Guide to Success. He has done some incredible things and will continue to do so, right? And one of the reasons why he has been so incredible is he's open-minded, forward-thinking, creative, thinks outside the box, willing to try new things. He's willing to evolve. If you look at him throughout his entire journey in this contracting world, right? He's continually evolved and improved himself. Right, to become a better leader, a better business owner, you need. Right? So I want to thank him. Make sure you check him out at the Roofing Academy and Start Build Grow Show. And of course, Better Bonds, right? Our big thing, advocates for technological advancement in the trades and contracting world. We truly believe that it could be that competitive advantage that boosts your profitability, right? Boosts your sales, makes you more efficient with customer management, vendor management, job calling speed, sales and estimate, you name it. We really want to change your operations. You check us out at betterboss.io. All right, guys, let's continue to build the future together. But this is Construction Tech Talk. Signing off, and sometimes later.